Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a big one on the line for you today, and we are going to reel him in and have him help us understand an extraordinarily important area of our culture and our society and diet and a lot of other things. So hold on to the whatever you're listening to this on, hold on to your radio, hold on to your smartphone. Dr. David Katz is on the line with me. He is the founding director, Yale University Prevention Research Center. And I would take the entire show to introduce all of his pedigree and credentials. Dr. Katz, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, David. If my mother's listening, she'd like you to do that, but I bet everybody else would like to just cut to the chase.
Well, I tell you what, I haven't seen many resumes that look like this. You are well-regarded in your field, and our listeners will take our word for it. In the interest of time, I will tell them that we've got a website, davidkatzmd.com, David and K-A-T-Z-M-D.com, and they can go and check out the full resume there. I will note one thing that we thought was very interesting in looking over all of what brought you to where you are, that back in 2009, you were being considered strongly as a nominee for Surgeon General.
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately that's the president's call.
Sure.
And I didn't get that tap on the shoulder, although,
right.
That's a gig I would love to consider because you really do have a bully pulpit. But I had a lot of support from a number of organizations around the country interested in public health, lifestyle medicine, preventive medicine, the stuff I care a lot about. So that was nice. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm just doing my day job.
Well, I'm sure you're doing it well. And I have to also, I have to point out your medical degree from Albert Einstein College of Medicine. I think that is really, it's all relative, I suppose. Sorry.
That's right. At the end of the day, still takes a token to get on a train.
Okay. Well, I applaud your credentialing, which is vast and wide and deep, as they say. So let's dive into a deep issue, and that is disease prevention, diet, lifestyle, some big areas of importance for our country, childhood obesity, and then we'll get into the Nouvelle system in a minute. If I asked you, you mentioned earlier a bully pulpit. While it's not Surgeon General, we'll at least do it on this program. When we say the word diet, a lot of people say, oh no, here we go, and they start, don't change the channel, ladies and gentlemen. We say the importance of diet, there's a real financial impact, not only for individuals and their own cost of health care, but also for our whole country, our society. So this definitely warrants a conversation on a financial show. So we've got some serious problems that are going on with the way the folks that bring food and drinks to us, how these things are produced, and it's creating real problems for individuals, both adults and for children.
It absolutely is, David, and we'll run out of time before we can explore every nuance of this, but this issue, the threat of a culture at odds with health to our bodies, to the body politic, and to our financial solvency really is the focus of my career. You mentioned the word diet, and I'll just say I recently wrote a commission review paper entitled, Can We Say What Diet Is Best for Health? It was published in the Annual Review of Public Health, and it's available to everybody for free as a PDF. And the issue is this. We absolutely do know the basic theme of optimal eating, and it's real food, not too much, mostly plants, as Michael Pollan put it, or as I like to say, wholesome foods and sensible combinations, nothing that glows in the dark, basically. But instead of using what we know about diet, physical activity, a short list of other lifestyle factors, our culture is committed to debating, which of the variations on the theme is the best, and so we sort of fritter, and I've compared this to your house is on fire, you've got a fire hose, but instead of spraying water at the fire, you have a debate with other people about which hose is the best hose, which bucket's the best bucket, whether the water should be hard or soft, and meanwhile your house burns to the ground.
That's an excellent analogy.
That's what we do in our culture, and it's got to stop. The CDC has projected that should current trends persist by about the middle of this century, originally they were saying 1 in 3 of us would be diabetic. They're now saying it may be 40% to 50%. So right now, we have about 27 million diagnosed diabetics in the U.S., and the trends are very similar in developed and developing countries around the world. 1 in 3 of us would be over 100 million people, to say nothing of what it would mean if half of us were diabetic. Well, we're having trouble paying the health care bill now.
Right, that's just not sustainable.
There's just no way to pay it when over 100 million of us have a chronic, costly, potentially disabling disease beginning at every younger age. So the remedy for this, the only remedy, is using lifestyle as preventive medicine, basically realigning our culture so that it propagates health instead of propagating disease. And, you know, yeah, I'm a public health physician. This is my job. But frankly, you know, when we talk about the implications of 100 million diabetics in the U.S., well, I'm on the front lines of nothing less than homeland security, and so is everybody else. I really don't think our nation can be solvent if we let that epidemiologic prediction come to pass. So this is about business. This is about the economy. This is about the future that we bequeath our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, and not just in terms of health, which is important enough in its own right, but you know whether or not we've got a functioning economy. And there are ways to get there from here. You know, it's not for lack of knowledge. It's for lack of political will and collective resolution to use what we know. If we just used what we know, and I'll end my soliloquy, if we just used what we already know and have in fact known for decades, we could eliminate 80% of all chronic disease, David, and 90% of diabetes. So instead of going up from 27 million to more than 100 million diabetics, we could cut the 27 million by 90% if we use what we know.
Amen. So no, we don't have to. We could literally say, okay, our fire hose is good enough. Flip the switch, turn the valve, and let's put the fire out, or at least knock it down to where it's maybe just a little brush fire over the side of the house. The actual house itself isn't going to burn down.
Absolutely. And then you know the interesting thing about all this, and it's very much like restructuring our energy economy, so that we improve the environment, stabilize the climate, and make a lot of money doing it. Same thing here. You know, I'm a public health guy, you know, one of those do-gooders and all that, and I tend to think more about human capital than money as my priority. But, you know, I've got five kids. I'm putting a bunch of them through college. I like a bank account that's full rather than empty.
Sure.
Money matters, and we can do well while doing good. We can make money by promoting health. What we do now, I'll just give you a quick example, and we can get into the details. But
sure.
You know, consider, for example, food stamps. And again, as a public health type, I support this. But I'm also a taxpayer, and I recognize that food stamps, now called SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, we, the taxpayers, send $100 billion a year to the Fed to underwrite SNAP so that we can help poor people choose poor food to get to poor health. And then we spend a ton more money through Medicaid to pay the cost of all that poor health, and absolutely everybody in this scenario loses. Well, we could retool that completely so that we provide guidance to better nutrition up front, financial incentives for choosing it, prevent the occasional case of coronary bypass or bariatric surgery, save back 10 times what we're spending at the front end, and absolutely everybody wins. And this could work in the public sector. It could work just as well in the private sector. There are win-win-win opportunities in the future of health promotion if we just get our thinking straight.
Amen to that, doctor. And I haven't not heard it ever better said. That's exactly what we need to do. And the challenge, you know, as soon as you start talking about, quote-unquote, telling people, you know, which as a physician, you know, I mean, that's what you do. You tell people about their health. But when we start talking about telling people about what to eat and about the choices that they need to make, it starts becoming very difficult to get past that, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right?
Well, exactly. And you know, what we tend to hear about, Dave, of course, is the nanny state. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I've addressed that many times. First, there is something in between being a nanny state and being a pack of ninnies who think that you know, the government shouldn't regulate anything.
Right.
You know, frankly, I'm thankful for the EPA, and you know, I'm glad to know that you know, big ag can't use any chemical it wants, no matter how toxic it is.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't want to have to ask whether or not there's arsenic in my ice cream. You know,
right.
I mean, there's some things need to be regulated.
Right.
On the other hand, we don't want to be told what we can have for breakfast, for crying out loud. So,
right.
You know, the government's role should be to do what it can do that others can't. But in general, what I prefer to, you know, being bossed about is being empowered. And I think with good information, people can make good choices. The other thing that we need to do is we have to remove the moral overtones to discussions about health. You know, I'm a physician, and when I talk about health, you may picture me wagging my finger telling you what you should do. Hell no. It's your life. You are the boss. I tell every patient I've ever taken care of, you are the boss. I work for you. My job is to empower you with options. And the reason you should be healthy is not because I say so. but because healthy people have more fun. Your life will be better. More years in life, more life in years. If you want that, I can help you get there if we work together.
Excellent.
But don't do it because I say you should. Do it because you want to. So we lose sight of a lot of really important things. This should be much more carrot, much less stick. It should be about empowerment. And, you know, we talk about things like the food supply and the need to change it. And, yes, that's true. But, you know, the single most effective way to change the food supply is to change the food demand. Because everybody who's selling us
everything's
food
demand
wants to keep
based.
The customer satisfied. And if we have good information about true food and we know what nutritious means and we know how to identify it and we care about it at the cash register, they will come around.
They always do.
And in fact, you know, we have beautiful natural experiments of how responsive and nimble the food supply is. You know, at the height of the Atkins diet craze, not that it was a good idea, but still it was very popular. We overnight, practically, every supermarket in the country filled up with low-carb choices. Now, most of them were low-carb, high-calorie junk, but that's beside the point. The point is, people wanted low-carb. They got low-carb. So if now we said, hey, we tried low fat, we got Snackwell cookies, we wanted low carb, we got low carb brownies. Now we want highly nutritious. Now we just want good for ourselves and our kids, and we won't buy anything else. Guess what? Food supply will fill up with better choices in a heartbeat.
Amen. 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 I'm in church, the church of Dr. David Katz, and I love it. And we're gonna grab a break. We'll be right back. The website is David Katz, MD, KATZ. DavidKatzMD.com, right back after the break.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Welcome back. We are with Dr. David Katz, and we're digging in here to public health and the retooling. I like that, kind of the retooling of the food that is put in front of us in various places and marketed to us, of course, and we'll get to that in a second. Dr. Katz, you mentioned the responsiveness of retailers and stores and food producers, and you gave the example of the low carb and the low fat previous focuses that we've seen and how the market responded. If we put the focus on the nutritious food, and that obviously that's where we're headed with all this, there's got to be a system in place to do that. And I understand that you were heavily involved and you actually created this new nutritional index or way of measuring the nutrition of foods. And I think that for people saying, okay, I hear you guys, I need to eat better. How do I do that? Let's talk a little bit about that new, the name of it is the new...
Nuval.
Nuval.
N-U-V-A-L. Yeah, thank you, David. So, you know, there's an interesting backstory here, and for the sake of time, I'll be very brief, but... Way back in 2003, I was a member of a group of 15 academics invited to Washington by then Secretary of Health Tommy Thompson. And they were interested at the time in getting guidance from leaders in this space on what the federal agencies, particularly the FDA, could do to combat trends in obesity and diabetes. And my recommendation, the secretary went around this conference table, gave each of us a 3-minute turn, said, you know, give me your best idea. And my idea at the time was essentially GPS for nutrition. I said, you know, you're a busy mom. You're trying to pick out a loaf of bread for your family so you can make sandwiches, and then you'd like the most nutritious one. But the one with the most fiber also has the most sodium. So is it a good choice or a bad choice? The one without all that sodium has added sugar in the form of high fructose corn syrup. The one without the added sugar says 0 grams trans fat on the front of the package, but has partially hydrogenated oil in the ingredient list in parentheses, where it says may contain one or more of the following. You don't know if it's in there, but it could be. Of course, that's trans fat. And then, you know, your next choice says multigrain, and it has amber waves of grain on the packaging, but it's got the least fiber of all. You're not sure any of them is actually a whole grain. Now, I know this is a problem because my wife, who does the cooking at home, we have 5 children, with her PhD in neuroscience from Princeton University, no less, you know, she tries to pick out a loaf of bread and comes home from the supermarket with smoke coming out of her ears. And it's the same problem in every aisle, in the dairy aisle or the meat aisle or you name it. I said, that's just not fair. The food labels are inscrutable. The level of detail is ridiculous. You know, frankly, I have 2 graduate degrees and 9 years of postgraduate education, and I'm not sure which of these damn things is the most nutritious. So here's what we need to do. Take all of the available science, and use a multidisciplinary team of top-notch experts to turn all of the decision-making we would use into an algorithm that people can use just like GPS. The most nutritious overall is this one. And that's what we built. So the feds didn't take me up on the idea, eventually lost my patience, and I called on my colleagues to work with me. The response was incredible.
Excellent.
The chair of nutrition at Harvard, the president of the American Cancer Society, the inventor of the glycemic index,
wow,
past presidents, the American Diabetes and American Dietetic Association, on and on it went. All of us worked together for 2 years. We built the overall nutritional quality index algorithm, and it now powers a system called NuVal. And here's how it works. Enters all of the important nutrients, weights them for their health effects, generates a number between 1 and 100. The higher the number, the more nutritious the food. It goes in front of every food in the supermarket next to the price, right on the shelf. And as we speak, it's in over 2,000 supermarkets throughout the U.S., so it's reaching about 40 million shoppers now. We've got a long way to go, but not a bad start.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Because, you know, I love your system, and I've got a couple of examples from your from the new, we've also got a website for that, nuval.com, N-U-V-A-L.com, and you can go in, you can look at examples of how this scoring works. You know, my simple methodology, doctor, is I do the perimeter of the store, and, you know, people say, well, how do you, what's your diet, David? Because I try to be careful, and I say, what's real complicated? It's plants, animals, fruit, and nuts.
Right.
And that's my diet. But to go a little more sophisticated than that, I like your system because, for example, let's look at cold cereals. We've got a Hodgson Mill unprocessed wheat bran, and that scored 100. And then on the other end, we've got Cap'n Crunch sweetened corn and oat cereal with a 4.
Right.
I mean, so.
And, you know, David, I'm like you. Yeah, I practice what I preach.
Yeah.
I eat a diet of real foods for the most part. But
right.
Let's face it, I do eat cereal out of a box and lentils out of a bag. And, you know, we have whole grain pasta, but we still put pasta sauce over it. And the amazing thing about NuVal, and the company, by the way, has scored over 100,000 foods.
Wow.
And I should also mention that in a Harvard study of over 100,000 people, these scores were shown to correlate with chronic disease and all-cause mortality. The higher the average NuVal score of people's foods, the lower their rate of heart disease, the lower their rate of diabetes, the lower their body mass index, and the lower their rate of premature death from any cause. So this stuff really matters. But we've seen, for example, that in every supermarket in the country, there is a pasta sauce on the shelf that has more added sugar than ice cream tops. But it's not going to say that on the front of the jar. You have to dig into the details to find it. You probably don't have time. Sitting right next to it and looking much the same is a jar that contains pasta sauce with no added sugar. The nutritional qualities night and day, they look exactly the same until you put NuVal scores in front of them, and one gets a 5 and one gets a 55, and it's an at-a-glance decision. You say, well, gee, I mean, that's, you know, it's pasta sauce, for crying out loud. I don't care which one I pick. I'm going to pick the one that's much more nutritious. And you usually don't even have to spend more money. And back to that economic issue that is the theme here, we have this sort of urban legend that you always have to spend more for better nutrition. Sometimes it's true, you know, fresh produce is pricey, although, you know, in terms of nutrients you're getting per dollar, it's still a bargain. But often it's not even true. The real problem is people don't know how to identify the more nutritious foods in the first place, let alone the more nutritious foods that don't cost more. But they are out there. And if you have a reliable system that works like GPS, unfailingly points you to the more nutritious option, you can trade up your salad dressing, your pasta sauce, your bread, your chips, your cereal, your dairy, your meat, without spending more money. And so now, you know, you're getting healthy, probably losing weight. One of the many virtues, David, of more nutritious foods is they fill us up on fewer calories. So
exactly.
This not only helps with weight loss, but it helps with weight loss without being hungry. And it's not a diet. It's grocery shopping, so you take your family along. We've heard stories of people who've used NuVal in their shopping and have lost over 100 pounds just by trading up their groceries. So there's a huge potential health benefit here. And there's a really meaningful economic benefit here as well.
I love it. I so love it. I'm looking at the list, and some of them are just they're crack. I mean, it's funny. I mean, some of the scoring that you go, oh my gosh. I mean, who would have thought? You know, another example. I was looking over. I'm a bit of a carnivore, so I was looking at the seafoods and the meats and the fresh meat score, and I'm going chicken breasts a 57. You know, and I was expecting skinless chicken breast to be, you know, up toward the 100. And then I looked down and go, pork, tenderloin, scored higher at a 65.
Yeah, and you know, that's because the system really is very sophisticated. It doesn't just penalize, you know, fat or carbohydrate. It looks at the specific kinds of fat.
Yeah.
Now, meat in general, you know, scores lower than the top scoring plant foods, because the system looks at nutrient density.
Right.
It looks at the array of nutrients. It looks at both good and bad. It penalizes things like trans fat, sodium, sugar, saturated fat of certain kinds. But it also penalizes calories because most of us get too many of those. So the foods that score 100 aren't just loaded up with nutrients, but they have a lot of nutrients and very few calories. And so, you know, if you put on the same scale as chicken, spinach, and kale, and broccoli, say, well, gee, those guys, they have, you know, basically every vitamin and mineral and antioxidant under the sun,
right,
and almost zero calories. So the ratio of nutrients to calories is almost infinite. And so that's 100.
Right.
Well, at that point, you know, frankly, meats that score in the 50s or 60s, that's pretty darn good.
Right.
And you know, what scores higher? Well, wild salmon. Wild salmon's going to be up around at 90, because in addition to being a great protein source, it's also loaded up with omega-3, which gets a very high reward because it's a very health-promoting nutrient and most of us don't get enough. And so, you know, the system looks at not just what nutrients are in the food, but what nutrients actually affect our health. You know, very few of us are protein deficient. So, yes, meat's a good protein source, but how many Americans are suffering from want of protein? But, in fact, most of us don't get the optimal amount of omega-3, and, you know, we weight more heavily the nutrients that have a greater impact on health.
Excellent. Wow. I love it. Dr. David Katz is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, and we were going to grab another quick break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Dr. David Katz on the line, and we want to talk about making a contribution. Boy, he's done it. The new VAL system we talked about before the break, NUVAL.com is a website. You can take a look at that. Fascinating. And I would be remiss not to mention also his writing, several books on the subject, including Disease Proof, The Remarkable Truth About What Makes Us Well. And I'm seeing a long list of books I want to get a hold of, Doctor. This is good stuff. That's available on his website and also on Amazon. The website is davidkatzmd.com. So where do we go from here? That's the wheels on the pavement question, Doctor. I mean, we've continue to hammer awareness and make people aware of these choices. And, you know, not long ago, and I'm sure you're keenly aware and tuned into this, there was a big Wall Street Journal article and writing on this that basically looked at the research that had been done about fats in our diet, and some of it going back and reevaluating some of the studies that were done early on. I think it was back in the 70s when a lot of this was done, and kind of reexamining. So people, I think, are open and interested in kind of, okay, what do I do now? So how do we take this? What are some ideas for taking this going forward to get people thinking about this in the right way and also have it save the billions of dollars it could by getting people to eat healthy?
Right. Well, so let's start. The issue of fat, David, I would characterize a little differently. I saw the piece in the Wall Street Journal, and as I said at the beginning of our discussion, we really need to focus on using what we know,
right,
rather than bickering over the little bit we don't know. So actually, the research does not show that we would be healthier if we ate more meat, butter, and cheese, which has been, you know, the claim lately, and people love to hear stuff like that. What the research showed is that if we eat less meat, butter, and cheese, but more sugar, we don't get healthy. In other words, there's more than one way to eat badly.
Right.
And in our culture, we seem committed to exploring every one of them. But we also know the ways to eat well, and really, it's, you know, true food, nothing that glows in the dark, mostly plants. Now, you know, if you want to eat meat in your diet, fine. Have a paleo diet, but then the meat should be game. You know, it ought to be well-fed animals treated kindly, lean meat, you know, and you really can't say that you're on a paleo diet if you're eating grain-fed beef, because grain is not the part of the native diet of the cattle. We know the expression, you are what you eat. Well, what we eat is what it eats. That matters, too. But, you know, you want a Mediterranean diet? Fine. You want an Asian-style diet? Fine. You want to be vegan? Fine. But in all cases where we see meaningful health benefit, adding years to life and life to years, it's about real food in sensible combinations, and it's almost always mostly plants. But moving on, you know, what do we do now?
Yeah,
well,
what do we do
a
now?
Few answers. First, now, people like me who work in public health work to disseminate empowering programming. So Nuval's an example. We have a food label literacy program for kids in schools available for free called Nutrition Detectives. We write books like Disease Proof, which essentially is all about skill power. It says willpower is not enough. What I've got that enables me to be healthy in spite of it all is a skill set most people don't have. I'm supposed to have it. Well, I can pay it forward. So Disease Proof is my attempt to take everything I use every day to be healthy and share it with everybody else. The other thing that we can do is think in terms of culture change. If lifestyle is the best medicine, frankly, culture is the best spoon. And the person doing the best work in that space is Dan Buettner. He's the author of The Blue Zones. He's a National Geographic fellow, and what Dan has done is studied the healthiest, longest-lived populations around the world and is currently working on figuring out how do we take what they do routinely as part of their culture and transplant it. I'm going to get involved in an effort like that. That's really what I want the rest of my career to be about. And then finally, you know, per the discussion we've been having, we need to think about how to monetize health promotion. So, for example, if we take a system like Nuval, 1 to 100, the higher the number, the more nutritious the food, and attach financial incentives to it, so the more nutritious the food you choose, the more money you save, then it's a question of, well, who should pay that bill? Well, in the case of, say, the SNAP program, it should be the federal government who can spend a little money and save a lot.
Right.
In the case of the rest of us, it should be whoever is paying the cost of our disease care, so our insurer, our self-insured employer, because it costs a lot less to incentivize healthy food choices than it costs to pay for bariatric surgery, coronary bypass. So we need to rethink how these dots connect in our culture. And, you know, as I said earlier, I really think we can do well by doing good. I think we can promote health, add years to life and life to years, and save money into the bargain.
I'm sold, Dr. Katz. I think it's brilliant. I think it's what we need. It's exactly the medicine in the right dose that we need to save the patient. If you've just joined us, you'll have to listen to this one again on the app. And Dr. David Katz has been our guest. DavidKatzMD.com. K-A-T-Z is how he spelled his last name. DavidKatzMD.com. Book and the new Nuval system. Great stuff, doctor. Thank you very, very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me on, David. My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.